This is Radio Papist. We are streaming live from Villa Romana, and we are switching from English to Italian, Italian to English the whole night. So I am Carola, and on the other side of the mic...
This is Ilaria. And we are together now for about 10-15 minutes. It depends on you. Alisa Margolis, who's one of the fellow artists 2015 at Villa Romana. And we are here to talk a bit about the project you're presenting here in the garden. Maybe it's not even a project, it's an experimentation, I think. And maybe to present some of your works. Alisa Margolis is a painter. She's from New York, but she's been living in Europe. And right now in Berlin. I mean, not right now. She's living in Florence up to the end of...
Mentally, I'm in Berlin.
Still. Mentally, are you in Berlin? Okay. Can you tell us a bit about your work as a painter? And... But let's start from the garden. Maybe it's easier.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, that's interesting. Because actually, it's the first time I've made a painting without making a painting. Yeah, so... Oh, the radio, exciting. Dealing with sound. No, it was a whole other experiment. It's actually so much easier than making an actual work and having this... it's very inspiring to be in the space. And I think as a painter, you're always... trying to conquer space in some way. So I was trying to figure out a way to do that with the garden and the space of the garden.
And what did you do?
So I've interviewed, I made a sound installation in the olive garden and in the olive trees. There's about five speakers, and I wanted to create this sound experience, imagining it at night. Where it feels like you're in a museum, but there's no paintings in front of you, or you're being guided through a museum, but there's no paintings in front of you. So what I was imagining was, I interviewed five, how many people did I interview? Well, I interviewed a series of people, all talking about different paintings of the Annunciation, which they chose. But that's not necessarily apparent from... when you experience the installation. So you arrive and you hear people describing their experience of a particular annunciation scene. So it registers sometimes as a horror movie, sometimes as a sublime event. And I was interested in this disconnection between what you see and like a mediated experience of seeing, which is a lot of what my work is about, and also dealing with classical themes and tropes. And so living in Florence and thinking of the Annunciation as almost the theme of Florence, because of the lily, as a connection. And yeah, I was really interested in seeing this translation, how you can almost project a painting based on someone's description, an immediate description, so not a tour guide, but yeah, someone from a different culture, someone from a different place, someone who doesn't have necessarily, yeah, an art historical background, and how you can project it in your mind's eye in the space of a garden, and how that can become a museum.
Yeah, what I found interesting about your question about this description of an iconographic theme of the history of art is the idea of questioning the preconceptual idea you have of a painting, in the sense you are now in a Catholic society, you are now in a society that is very used to images connected to certain religious images, and also to the history of art. And it's very difficult, I found, doing myself, to describe the scene moving forward the stereotyping description of a piece of art, or the stereotyping narration of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I found that very, very interesting.
Yeah, because you did participate.
Yeah, I participated.
Just as a
I didn't participate, but listening, going back and listening to the 10th recordings you made, I wish I did. But no, it's not even that. It's It is listening to one and then another one after that one. As you were saying, it just like completely the perception shifts, and you can, you really have an open window into a person mind, because it's, everyone has got very, very different kind of lectures and interpretations and views on what a painting can suggest.
Sure.
So it's, I mean, to me, listening to one and then another and then another, it was something like some sort of cathartic thing, because they're always talking about the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's, every time it's completely different, it's completely new, it's like an exercise, you know, on style.
But for those of you who are not used, I mean, who don't know, the Annunciation theme is basically the angel Gabriele who's announcing Maria, who will give birth to Jesus Christ. So apparently it's like an act of joy, but you have to imagine this woman right in the middle of its own affair, like reading a book.
And someone tells you you're pregnant. I mean, it's almost funny, and I know it's a bit maybe people
science
don't like
fiction.
Think of that way. Yeah, but you had this amazing analogy of it being the Terminator, which I wish you had said that in your recording. But it's also interesting how people, certain people were very reserved in their descriptions, but then offline they were much more crazy. But then not all of them were reserved. So that, I mean, it really transcended what I thought would happen, and it was a really amazing experience to see what people would say and how they interacted with the piece. Because I thought that actually, if you give someone the freedom to, you know, just go off objectively on a theme like that and just, you know, say Terminator, I really expected more of that, or more like horror movie kind of analogies, which was my initial reaction to, which what I thought would people would read into it. But you know, it was really surprising, and also culturally surprising. You know, like there was a lot of people that found a lot of inspiration, but that wasn't even a religious inspiration. And yeah, like it really did become this kind of alternative experience of transcendence, even listening to people respond and see what they noticed. And yeah, I mean, it's almost like if painting had a gesture, then viewing has a gesture as well. So...
But is this interest in the Annunciation theme part of a rediscovery of figurative paintings, or it's always been part of your practice? I mean, taking the figurative themes of history of art and then disassembling it or abstracting these figures.
Yes.
I mean, if I think of your works, I imagine a beautiful abstract flourishing orchestration of images, no?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always interested in... I'm interested in the old. I'm interested in this kind of impulse, this sort of fetish I have for, you know, this not cool, figurative, you know, geeking out on how to paint a hand really well, or, you know, warm and cool colors and this kind of thing, and you know, doing it in this very classical way. And I'm interested in this implication of a classical gesture, classical painting, and classical themes, and how they can have a relevance in a contemporary way, and especially also with painting, because it's, you know, there is this kind of, like, painting is really loaded with history, and it is very, and also living in Florence is very loaded in history, and this experience of painting here, so it's like this almost extra layer of weight. And yes, I mean, for me, it's interesting to connect, or I've always been interested in connecting that with something maybe cliche, like one cliche, connecting it with, you know, this idea of a transcendence, and this idea of something that may be banal but can also be sublime and moving, and even though you know your buttons are being pushed, which I think a lot of classical painting can be that way, I'm interested in revisiting that expression and convincing you that it can be, you know, relevant in a way, in a modern contemporary way. So, you know, I've worked a lot, sorry.
But what do you think it's the best way to experience a sublime to feel a sublime experience, because I read the catalog, The Theory of Everything, mm-hmm. and I'm quoting, we should not allow the contemporary sublime to become an intellectual exercise. Mm. Do you think it's valid also in the experiencing of your works?
Well, I mean, it's also like the sound piece was this kind of inspiration that I had being here, because definitely I think that so much of art making and painting is about seeing and seeing things in a new way. And that's, I think, becomes increasingly difficult the longer you're here, you know, the longer just you're here on the planet. And I think that you become desensitized to experiences. And I think that this is really the position of an artist, where you can see the cliche, you can see, okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Like, I think that there's definitely this thing of taste, and this thing of taste in classical painting, and this sort of presupposition that if you can go to a museum, if you like classical music, if you have this sort of root in being able to paint well, for example, then there's the implication that there is a certain level of taste. But, like, to me, I think that there is this flattening of experience. I think there's an equal way of letting things in. So there's an equal, like, for example, even the Terminator. Like, I think this is really brilliant that you made this immediate connection, because it's there's a way to let these things in, and there's a way to will them to exist in the same plane and to move you in the same way. Because actually, I mean, for example, like one installation that I did a long time ago was, I was inspired by special effects from the 80s, which are so much more painterly than special effects now, because I feel like there is a definite, your eyes, I mean, I remember being completely convinced in the 80s.
They were painting. Now it's totally CGI. Well,
I wonder what they'll say about CGI as well. I mean, because I think that that's also...
There was a huge manual part to that.
Yeah.
I mean, up until early 90s, there was like a really huge manual, artisanal craft. I mean, it was a completely... it was not digital. It was a total craftsmanship. Yeah, there was really a craftsmanship mm-hmm. behind that. That was totally different from what is right now. So it's
it's amazing, because I remember being completely freaked out by seeing Nightmare on Elm Street, for example, or Poltergeist, and it was just like oh my god, like, and it was just and then I couldn't even watch it, actually, and then finally I got the courage to watch it, and then like, this isn't so bad. Come on, like, you can tell like where all the fake. You know, like this.
Look, there is tomato sauce.
Or yeah, exactly. or Dario Argento, like the blood is like super red. It's not even ketchup red. It's like, you know, cadmium or something. And it stays that way. And it's just like, oh my God, this is where the bad thing happened, the blood, you know. And I find like, and it's exactly what you said, it's painterly. And I think it's interesting how your eye becomes desensitized, and now you can see, of course, it's fake and there's a contrived. Also, like Kiss, for example, the band Kiss, which I'm really
fond of.
I mean, not necessarily musically, but I'm interested in them as a kind of conceptual exercise, because when they first started, they were, you know, they had this contrived spectacle, and it was this very kind of. And yeah, I'm perhaps like not in this. Like Marxist version of the spectacle, but really something that is like populist and or for the people rather, and because there was this, it was a very contrived, you know, they were like in the air with the smoke and everything, and it was just about, it was like hitting you over the head with, you know, this rock and roll spirituality, and you know, actually it's quite convincing, and I think that it's really. Back to what you were asking me, I think it's really a way of seeing to be able to be moved by that again, to still be able to be moved by that. And, you know, there's a lot of connection to classical painting.
To Baroque.
Yeah, to Baroque painting, of course.
Can you
yeah.
tell Can you tell us about the connection between the keys and the Baroque paintings?
Okay, well, so I've always been drawn to the Baroque. I mean, very much excess and very much, and conceptually, the Baroque was always touching on all the senses in order to move you towards a belief in, you know, the sublime, which is belief in God and the divine. And
it's not rational.
No, it's like, no, you're going to believe, because we've got music, we've got the, you've got sound, music, the visual, the gold, the everything, you know.
It's like a rock concert.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a sensibility. There's definitely people that are turned off by this, but to me, I would be completely convinced. But so, yeah, I mean, Kiss was somehow, I don't know, it was an inspiration. Like, I just immediately just saw this connection, because there's a lot of this, like, call and response during a concert that's very much a religious sermon almost. You know, I've got the lead singer, like, he's, you know, always asking the audience questions and the audience is answering. So it does have this theme. And then, like, at one point, and they're always repeating, by the way, they're repeating, like, for, I don't know, how many years is it already? 30 years at least? Like, they've been repeating
themselves.
The spectacle. And it's like there's always this moment where, like, you know, Gene Simmons does this one thing with the blood, the fake blood, and there's this moment where, like, Paul Stanley, you know, goes flying to the audience, and they still freak out, and 20-year-olds are freaking out about it. And I think this is really interesting, that this is still can be convincing. And I don't know, I think that there's something.
How old are they now?
There's young people. Like, there's people younger than me, for sure. Part of, like, they dress up and they do the costumes, and it's really, if you've, I've saw them.
They are in their 60s right now. No, the Kiss.
Oh, yeah, the Kiss.
Yeah, they are in their 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, the makeup, it helps.
Yeah.
But, and I know Paul Stanley has a
genius.
He looks fantastic, actually. So I was really impressed with this. But, yeah. No, but it is. And I think it keeps kind of, it's redundant, but it builds on itself. And I think it's interesting how it can still be convincing. And so for me, the Baroque, it's also this connection through light and this idea of light as an experience of transcendence. Like, that was my initial kind of conceptual attraction to it, because I think that there is, the way that I was painting was about, you know, painting light, like painting from dark to light, this counterintuitive way of painting, and having painting this excess almost compete with video, compete with the viewing experience of, you know, a performance, and to capture this sort of energy and connect it to classical painting through this idea of light and through this idea, which that's sort of the specific link to the Baroque that I think.
What are you working on right now?
At the moment, I've been really interested in the Tabernacoli, which are these roadside shrines, and to figure out a way to, yeah, translate a lot.
Yeah, most of,
what I'm
the time
in.
Is Mary, no? It's the Madonna.
Yeah,
depicted,
but they,
in.
Yeah, so there's different kinds of Madonnas, and there's Madonna, like the lactating one, the breastfeeding Madonna, and there's always kind of different characters worked in there, depending on which neighborhood you're in, depending on who bought the, who paid for the Tabernacoli. And I'm specifically interested in this experience of painting in an outdoor space, as a de-reified space, like not a museum space that can inspire you just spontaneously. So that's, and we'll see how we work that out.
But I think it is perfect for us to start the evening with you, because this connection.
Am I the first one?
You're the first one of the resident artists of this year. The thing is that your work is really, really connected with, also with Florence, its history, and, you know, trying also, there is a relationship between, I mean, what is done today and the history of the place. So it's very precise, I guess, to start with it, because for those who do not know about Villa Romana, Villa Romana is one of the oldest artists' residencies in Italy. And since 1905, have been hosting artists and trying to give them a safe place to work in and to get inspired and to get in connection with their own work and, you know, other artists and people. So, I mean, I guess what you just suggested us and, you know, talking about your work is really perfect to start the evening for the Open Studios.
Okay. Yeah, actually, you were not the first. I mean, we met Johannes Porreter a few months ago, and also his work is quite connected to to the history of the perception of the nowadays contemporary classical and historical art in Florence.
Mm.
But I think thank you.
Thank you.
And the invitation is for all those listening to us is to walk down the Olive Garden and get lost into the interviews you recorded.
Yes. No, it's beautiful. I was really happy that everybody was involved in it. So thanks for your help with it,
walls,
both of you.
Look like they're out of plaster. There's a window.
The outside.
Seems like it starts about waist high through the window. You can see
what is there.
The light is coming back.
I don't see anything.
Lights coming in through the window.
The light is appearing. And you see a
fire of the
angel's
feet.
Looking at Mary.
And the room is on the front side, and on the other side.
She's not seeing
anything. It's broken.
Black.
It's opened. And everything is.
But there's something really important in the picture.
And it's very dramatic.
There's. Like a pigeon with a body on it. So the angel with a lily. Seems like
she has huge fear. She's not
even seeing her.
And
the space of the
her body very, very weirdly.
A central area and a peripheral area.
Now,
what homogenizes these two areas and brings them together
into two parts
is the molto luminoso.
Il pavimento di marmo e ci sono due persone, quello che sembra un uomo inginocchiato e di fronte a lui una donna seduta su un trono piuttosto decorato. Tra loro, ai piedi della donna che è seduta, c'è un vaso, sembra d'oro. E ci sono quattro rami, quattro gigli.